Chapter 109. Power Brake Unit Operation, Diagnosis, and Service. The Need for Power Brake Assist. To double the stopping power of a disc brake, the driver must double the force on the brake pedal. This is the reason that most vehicles equipped with disc brakes are power assisted, even on small, lightweight vehicles. The use of semi-metallic brake pads also requires greater force. The most commonly used power-assisted units are vacuum-operated. When a power booster is fitted, the brake pedal ratio is decreased and the master cylinder bore size is increased. The combined effect of these changes is to reduce pedal effort, while greatly increasing pedal reserve. See Figure 109-1. Power boosters do not alter the hydraulic system and they still allow braking even if the booster fails or its power supply is cut off. All boosters have a power reserve that provides assist for at least one hard stop and sometimes several light brake applications, even after power is lost. However, because power brake systems are designed with the added force of the booster taken into account, the amount of brake pedal pressure required to slow or stop a vehicle is much higher than in a non-boosted system once the reserve is used up. For this reason, some vehicles with power brakes have a brake pedal that is wide enough to allow two-foot braking should the booster fail. See Figure 109-2. Refer to Figure 109-1. Typical vacuum brake booster assembly. The vacuum hose attaches to the intake manifold of the engine. Refer to Figure 109-2. A wide brake pedal allows two-foot braking if power assist is lost. Principles of vacuum. Most vacuum-powered brake boosters get their vacuum supply from the engine intake manifold. An engine is essentially a big air pump because the pistons move up and down in the cylinders to pump in air and fuel, and pump out exhaust. They do this by creating differences in air pressure. As a piston moves downward on an intake stroke with the intake valve open, it creates a larger area inside the cylinder for air to fill. This lowers the air pressure within the cylinder, and the higher pressure air outside the engine flows in through the intake manifold in an attempt to fill the low pressure area. Although it may seem as though the low pressure is pulling air into the engine, it is really the higher pressure outside that forces air in. The difference in pressure between two areas is called a pressure differential. Because throttle valves and manifold shape restrict intake airflow, high pressure air from outside the engine is almost never able to move into the cylinders fast enough to fill the space created. As a result, gasoline-powered internal combustion engines normally operate with a low pressure area, or partial vacuum, in the intake manifold. The term vacuum is used to refer to any pressure lower than atmospheric pressure. Atmospheric pressure varies with altitude, but is approximately 14.7 pounds per inch 2, psi, at sea level. See Figure 109-3. Measuring vacuum. Vacuum is measured in inches of mercury or in millimeters of mercury, a figure that indicates how far a column of mercury in a tube will rise when a vacuum is applied at one end and atmospheric pressure at the other. Vacuum is a measurement of the pressure differential between the lower pressure inside the tube and the higher pressure outside it. A perfect vacuum is about 30 inches of mercury, or millimeters of mercury. However, a perfect vacuum occurs only in space and is never achieved in an engine's intake manifold. Manifold vacuum varies with throttle position. The lowest manifold vacuum, highest pressure, occurs when the throttle is wide open with the engine under load. The highest manifold vacuum, lowest pressure, may be as much as 24 inches of mercury, or 610 millimeters of mercury, when the vehicle is rolling rapidly downhill in gear with the throttle closed. Manifold vacuum at idle typically falls between 15 and 20 inches of mercury, or 381 and 508 millimeters of mercury, and most vacuum brake boosters are designed to operate with vacuum levels in this range. Refer to Figure 109-3. Atmospheric pressure varies with altitude. Refer to Figure 109-4. A belt-driven auxiliary vacuum pump. Booster vacuum supply. Vacuum boosters get their vacuum supply from the engine intake manifold. Diesel engines, however, run unthrottled. Engine speed is controlled strictly by the amount of fuel injected, and have little or no intake manifold vacuum. If a vehicle with a diesel engine is equipped with a vacuum-powered brake booster, it must also be fitted with an auxiliary vacuum pump. Some small gasoline-powered and diesel engines use a belt-driven add-on pump. See Figure 109-4. An electrically-powered vacuum pump is turned on and off by a pressure switch on the booster. This means they operate only when needed and thus reduce power drain on the engine. See Figure 109-5. Refer to Figure 109-5. An electrically powered vacuum pump. Refer to Figure 109-6. Vacuum brake boosters operate on the principle of pressure differential. Vacuum booster theory. Vacuum boosters use the principle of pressure differential to increase brake application force. The typical vacuum booster has a power chamber separated into two smaller chambers by a flexible diaphragm. When air pressure is greater on one side of the diaphragm than the other, a pressure differential is created. In an attempt to equalize pressure in the two chambers, the higher pressure exerts a force that moves the diaphragm toward the lower pressure area. Rods attached to the diaphragm transmit this force, plus the force the driver exerts on the brake pedal, to the master cylinder. The amount of force created in this manner is proportional to the difference in pressure between the two sides. In other words, the greater the pressure differential, the greater the force. To calculate the force, the pressure differential is multiplied by the diaphragm surface area. For example, if a power booster diaphragm has atmospheric pressure, 14.7 psi, on one side, and a typical intake manifold vacuum of 20 inches mercury, or 10 psi of absolute pressure, the pressure differential acting on the diaphragm would be as follows. 14.7 psi minus 10 psi equals 4.7. If we once again multiply these times the area of the diaphragm, the result is as follows. 4.7 psi times 50 square inches equals 235 pounds of force. Vacuum booster diaphragms are sized to fit specific applications and provide the necessary application force. Most vacuum boosters are capable of providing hundreds of pounds of application force. See Figure 109-6. Tech tip. Check the vacuum, then the brakes. A customer complained of a very rough idle and an occasional pulsating brake pedal. The customer was certain that the engine required serious work since there were over 100,000 miles on the vehicle. During the troubleshooting procedure, a spray cleaner was used to find any vacuum, air, leaks. A large hole was found melted through a large vacuum hose next to the vacuum hose feeding the vacuum-operated power brake booster. After repairing the vacuum leak, the vehicle was test-driven again to help diagnose the cause of the pulsating brake pedal. The engine idled very smoothly after the vacuum leak was repaired and the brake pulsation was also cured. The vacuum leak resulted in lower than normal vacuum being applied to the vacuum booster. During braking, when engine vacuum is normally higher, deceleration, the vacuum booster would assist, then not assist when the vacuum was lost. This on and off supply of vacuum to the vacuum booster was noticed by the driver as a brake pulsation. Always check the vacuum at the booster whenever diagnosing any brake problems. Most vehicle manufacturers specify a minimum of 15 inches mercury of vacuum at the booster. The booster should be able to provide at least 2 or 3 stops even with no vacuum. The booster should also be checked to see if it can hold a vacuum after several hours. A good vacuum booster, for example, should be able to provide a power assist after sitting all night without starting the engine. Refer to Figure 109-7. Figure A. Many vacuum brake booster check valves are located where the vacuum hose from the engine, vacuum source, attaches to the vacuum booster. Figure B. This one-way valve prevents the loss of vacuum when the engine is off. The diaphragm inside allows air to flow in one direction only. Vacuum check valve. All vacuum boosters use a one-way vacuum check valve. This valve allows air to flow in only one direction, from the booster toward the engine. This valve prevents loss of vacuum when the engine stops. Without this check valve, the vacuum stored in the vacuum booster would simply be lost through the hose and intake manifold of the engine. See Figure 109-7. Caution: sometimes an engine backfire can destroy or blow the vacuum check valve out of the booster housing. If this occurs, all power assist will be lost and a much greater than normal force must be exerted on the brake pedal to stop the vehicle. Be sure to repair the cause of the backfire before replacing the damaged or missing check valve. Normal causes of backfire include an excessively lean air-fuel ratio or incorrect firing order or ignition timing. Refer to Figure 109-8. Cross-sectional view of a typical vacuum brake booster assembly. Vacuum brake booster operation. A vacuum power brake booster contains a rubber diaphragms connected to the brake pedal at one end and to the master cylinder at the other end. When the brakes are off or released, there is equal vacuum on both sides of the diaphragm. The vacuum power unit contains the power piston assembly, which houses the control valve and reaction mechanism and the power piston return spring. The control valve is composed of the air valve, valve plunger, the floating control valve assembly, and the pushrod. The reaction mechanism consists of a hydraulic piston reaction plate and a series of reaction levers. An air filter, air silencer, and filter retainer are assembled around the valve operating rod, filling the cavity inside the hub of the power piston. The pushrod that operates the air valve projects out of the end. See Figure 109-8. Released position operation. At the released position, brake pedal up, the air valve is seated on the floating control valve, which shuts off the air. The floating control valve is held away from the valve seat in the power piston insert. Vacuum from the engine is present in the space on both sides of the power piston. Any air in the system is drawn through a small passage in the power piston, over the seat in the power piston insert, and through a passage in the power piston insert. There is a vacuum on both sides of the power piston, and it is held against the rear of the housing by the power piston return spring. At rest, the hydraulic reaction plate is held against the reaction retainer. The air valve spring holds the reaction lever against the hydraulic reaction plate and holds the air valve against its stop in the tube of the power piston. The floating control valve assembly is held against the air valve seat by the floating control valve spring. See Figure 109-9. Applied position operation. As the brake pedal is depressed, the floating control valve is moved toward its seat in the power piston, away from the rear of the booster. The smaller air valve spring causes the air valve to stretch out toward the retreating floating control valve until it bottoms out on the lip of the power piston's vacuum passage. This closes off the vacuum supply to the rear section of the housing. Since the floating control valve travels farther than the sealing end of the air valve, atmospheric air is allowed to enter between the air valve and the floating control valve, pressurizing the rear section of the housing. At this point, the rear section of the housing is pressurized and the front section is under vacuum. Atmospheric pressure can then force the power piston forward. Note: this movement of air into the rear chamber of the brake booster may be heard inside the vehicle as a hissing noise. The loudness of this airflow varies from vehicle to vehicle and should be considered normal. As the power piston travels forward, the pushrod pushes against the hydraulic reaction plate and the master cylinder, pushing the master cylinder primary and secondary pistons forward. As back pressure builds up on the end of the master cylinder piston, the floating control valve is pushed back off of its seat in the power piston, applying back pressure to the brake pedal. The power piston return spring also generates some brake pedal force. All in all, approximately 30% of the brake load is applied back to the brake pedal. This gives the driver a feel that is proportional to the degree of brake application. See Figure 109-10. Refer to Figure 109-9. In the release position, brake pedal up, the vacuum is directed to both sides of the diaphragm. Refer to Figure 109-10. Simplify diagram of a vacuum brake booster in the apply position. Notice that the atmospheric valve is open and air pressure is being applied to the diaphragm. Refer to Figure 109-11. Cross-section of a vacuum brake booster in the hold position with both vacuum and atmospheric valves closed. Note that the reaction force from the brake fluid pressure is transferred back to the driver as a reaction force to the brake pedal. Hold position operation. When the desired brake pedal force is reached and there is balance between the opposing forces of the brake pedal and the master cylinder, the power piston moves forward around the floating control valve and reaction disc until the air valve sealing end catches up with the floating control valve. At this point, the air valve is once again sealed against the floating control valve and is no longer blocking the vacuum passage in the power piston. The floating control valve is again held away from its seat. Vacuum once again is present on both sides of the diaphragm and power piston. The status of the booster is almost exactly as it was in the released state, except that the positions of the power piston and subsequently the master cylinder pistons are farther forward. Brake pedal force is keeping the power piston in its position. If additional braking is required, brake pedal pushed farther, the floating control valve moves away from the air valve, permitting the power of atmospheric pressure to push the power piston and master cylinder pistons forward. If the pedal is released, since vacuum is then present on both sides of the diaphragm, the power piston return spring moves the power piston to its released state. See Figure 109-11. Vacuum failure mode. In case of vacuum source interruption, the brake operates as a standard brake as follows. As the pedal is pushed down, the operating rod forces the floating control valve against the power piston and reaction disc. This force is then applied to the pushrod and subsequently the hydraulic reaction plate fastened to the master cylinder piston rod, which applies pressure in the master cylinder. For safety in the event of a stalled engine and a loss of vacuum, a power brake booster should have adequate storage of vacuum for several power-assisted stops. Refer to Figure 109-12. Cutaway showing a dual diaphragm, tandem, vacuum brake booster. Tech tip. A low, soft brake pedal is not a power booster problem. Some service technicians tend to blame the power brake booster if the vehicle has a low, Soft brake pedal. A defective power brake booster causes a hard brake pedal, not a soft brake pedal. A soft or spongy brake pedal is usually caused by air being trapped somewhere in the hydraulic system. Many times, the technician has bled the system and, therefore, thinks that the system is free of any trapped air. According to remanufacturers of master cylinders and power brake boosters, most of the returned parts under warranty are not defective. Incorrect or improper bleeding procedures account for much of the problem. Dual, or tandem, diaphragm vacuum boosters. To provide power assist, air pressure must work against a rubber diaphragm. The larger the area of the diaphragm, the more force can be exerted. The usual method of increasing the area of the vacuum diaphragm was to increase the diameter of the vacuum booster. However, a larger vacuum booster took up too much room under the hood of many vehicles. Instead of increasing the diameter, vacuum booster manufacturers used two smaller diameter diaphragms and placed one in front of the other. These designs increase the total area without increasing the physical diameter of the booster. This style is called a dual diaphragm or tandem diaphragm vacuum booster. See Figure 109-12. Brake assist system. Purpose and function. Some vehicles are equipped with a brake assist system, abbreviated BAS, that applies the brakes with maximum force if the system detects that the driver is making a panic stop. Tests performed by brake engineers have indicated that it is normal for a person to first apply the brakes rapidly during a panic situation. However, it was also found that the driver would tend to reduce the force applied to the brake pedal. As a result, the vehicle did not brake with the maximum effort. Operation. The brake assist system opens an air valve on the rear part of the vacuum booster assembly. As a result, more air at atmospheric pressure can flow into the rear chamber of the vacuum booster, thereby increasing the force applied to the master cylinder. The BAS function works with the electronic stability control escape system to ensure maximum braking efficiency during evasive or emergency situations. If the speed of the brake pedal application exceeds a predetermined limit as determined by the brake pedal travel sensor, the ABS controller energizes the BAS solenoid valve. When the solenoid valve opens, additional air at atmospheric pressure enters the driver's side of the booster. The additional pressure applies the brakes faster and with more force. The BAS solenoid is denergized when the brake pedal is released and normal braking returns. See Figures 109-13 and 109-14. Vacuum booster operation test. With the engine off, apply the brakes several times to deplete the vacuum. With your foot on the brake pedal, start the engine. The brake pedal should drop. If the brake pedal does not drop, check for proper vacuum source to the booster. There should be at least 15 inches of mercury of vacuum at the booster for proper operation. If there is proper vacuum, repair or replacement of the power booster is required. Refer to Figure 109-13. A typical brake assist system uses a brake pedal travel sensor and a BAS solenoid to apply the brakes during a panic condition. Vacuum booster leak test. To test if the vacuum booster can hold a vacuum, perform the following steps. Step 1. Operate the engine to build up a vacuum in the booster, then turn the engine off. Step 2. Wait 1 minute. Step 3. Depress the brake pedal several times. There should be two or more power-assisted brake applications. If applications are not power-assisted, either the vacuum check valve or the booster is leaking. To test the check valve, remove the valve from the booster and blow through the check valve. If air passes through, the valve is defective and must be replaced. If the check valve is okay, the vacuum booster is leaking and should be repaired or replaced based on the manufacturer's recommendations. Hydraulic system leak test. An internal or external hydraulic leak can also cause a brake system problem. To test if the hydraulic system, and not the booster, is leaking, depress and release the brake pedal, service brakes, several times. This should deplete any residual power assist. On some ABS units, this may require depressing the brake pedal 20 or more times. After depleting the power assist unit, depress and then hold the brake pedal depressed with medium force, 20 to 35 pounds or 88 to 154 newtons. The brake pedal should not fall away. If the pedal falls, the hydraulic brake system is leaking. Check for external leakage at wheel cylinders, calipers, hydraulic lines, and hoses. If there is no external leak, there may be an internal leak inside the master cylinder. Repair or replace components as needed to correct the leakage. Refer to Figure 109-14. When the brake assist function operates, the brake force is much higher than normal. Refer to Figure 109-15. Typical adjustable pushrod. This adjustment is critical for the proper operation of the braking system. If the push rod is too long, the brakes may be partially applied during driving. If the rod is too short, the brake pedal may have to be depressed farther down before the brakes start to work. Push rod clearance adjustment. Whenever the vacuum brake booster or the master cylinder is replaced, the push rod length should be checked. The length of the push rod must match correctly with the master cylinder. See Figure 109-15. If the push rod is too long and the master cylinder is installed, the rod may be applying a force on the primary piston of the master cylinder even though the brake pedal is not applied. This can cause the brakes to overheat, causing the brake fluid to boil. If the brake fluid boils, a total loss of braking force can occur. Obviously, this push rod clearance check and adjustment is very important. A gauge is often used to measure the position of the master cylinder piston, and then the other end of the gauge is used to determine the proper push rod clearance. See Figure 109-16. Refer to Figure 109-16. Typical vacuum brake booster push rod gauging tool. Figure A, the tool is first placed against the mounting flange of the master cylinder and the depth of the piston determined. Figure B, the gauge is then turned upside down and used to gauge the push rod length. Some vacuum brake boosters do not use adjustable push rods. If found to be the incorrect length, a replacement push rod of the correct length should be installed. Vacuum booster disassembly and service. While most vehicle manufacturers recommend that a defective vacuum brake booster be replaced as an assembly, some vehicle manufacturers recommend that the vacuum brake booster be disassembled and overhauled if defective. A special holding fixture should be used before rotating, unlocking, the front and rear housing because the return spring is strong. See Figure 109-17. Caution: most vehicle manufacturers recommend that the vacuum brake booster be replaced as an assembly if tested to be leaking or defective. Always follow the manufacturer's recommendations. Disassemble the vacuum brake booster according to the manufacturer's recommended procedures for the specific unit being serviced. See Figure 109-18. A rebuilding kit is available that includes all necessary parts and the proper silicone grease. The manufacturer warns that all parts included in the kit be replaced. Refer to Figure 109-17. A holding fixture and a long tool being used to rotate the two halves of a typical vacuum brake booster. Frequently asked question. What is supplemental brake assist? Supplemental brake assist, abbreviated SBA, is a motor-driven vacuum pump that can supplement engine vacuum to the vacuum brake booster. This unit is used on some General Motors vehicles. When a vehicle is driven under a heavy load, engine vacuum is low. To meet the brake standards, some vehicles are equipped with a brake assist system that consists of the following components. Number 1. A pressure sensor that is used to measure the vacuum in the vacuum booster. Number 2. An intake manifold check valve that is used to prevent vacuum from escaping the vacuum boost. Number 3. A motor-driven vacuum pump. The vacuum pump motor will start and run if the pressure sensor detects the vacuum in the booster is below 7 inches mercury and will shut off after the vacuum level increases to 9 inches mercury. See Figure 109-19. Refer to Figure 109-18. Exploded view of a typical dual diaphragm vacuum brake booster assembly. Refer to Figure 109-19. The supplemental brake assist (BOSS) pump mounts on the brake booster housing. Figure 109-21. Exploded view of the Hydro Boost unit. Hydro Boost hydraulic brake booster. Purpose: Hydro Boost is a hydraulically operated power assist unit built by Bendix. The Hydro Boost system uses the pressurized hydraulic fluid from the vehicle's power steering pump as a power source rather than using engine vacuum as is used with vacuum boosters. See Figures 109-20 and 109-21. The Hydro Boost unit is used on vehicles that lack enough engine vacuum, such as turbocharged or diesel engine vehicles. During operation, diesel engines do not produce vacuum in the intake manifold. As a result, diesel engines must use accessory engine-driven vacuum pumps to operate vacuum accessories. Turbocharged and supercharged engines do not create engine vacuum during periods of acceleration. Even though vacuum is available when the engine is decelerating, some vehicle manufacturers elect to install a Hydro Boost system rather than equip the vehicle with an accessory engine-driven vacuum pump. Operation: fluid pressure from the power steering pump enters the unit and is directed by a spool valve. See Figure 109-22. When the brake pedal is depressed, the lever and primary valve are moved. The valve closes off the return port, causing pressure to build in the boost pressure chamber. The hydraulic pressure pushes on the power piston, which then applies force to the output rod that connects to the master cylinder piston. In the event of a power steering pump failure, power assist is still available for several brake applications. See Figure 109-23. During operation, hydraulic fluid under pressure from the power steering pump pressurizes an accumulator. See Figure 109-24. While some units use a spring inside the accumulator, most hydroboost units use nitrogen gas. The fluid trapped in the accumulator under pressure is used to provide power-assisted stops in the event of a hydraulic system failure. Diagnosis. The power source for hydroboost units comes from the power steering pump. The first step of troubleshooting is to perform a thorough visual inspection, including the following. Number 1. Checking for proper power steering fluid level. Number 2. Checking for leaks from the unit or power steering pump. Number 3. Checking the condition and tightness of the power steering drive belt. Number 4. Checking for proper operation of the base brake system. After checking all of the visual components, check for proper pressure and volume from the power steering pump using a power steering pump tester, as shown in figures 109-25 and 109-26. The pump should be capable of producing a minimum of 2 gallons, 7.5 liters, with a maximum pressure of 150 psi, or 1000 kilopascals, with the steering in the straight ahead position. With the engine off, the accumulator should be able to supply a minimum of 2 power assisted brake applications. Refer to Figure 109-22. A hydroboost hydraulic booster in the unapplied position. Refer to Figure 109-23. A hydroboost hydraulic booster as the brakes are applied. Refer to Figure 109-24. A hydroboost hydraulic booster in the holding position. Hydroboost function. Test with the engine off. Apply the brake pedal several times until the accumulator is depleted completely. Depress the service brake pedal and start the engine. The pedal should fall and then push back against the driver's foot. Refer to Figure 109-25. A typical hydroboost hydraulic line arrangement showing the pump, steering gear, and brake booster assembly. Refer to Figure 109-26. Pressure and flow analyzer installation to check the power steering pump output. Tech tip. The hydroboost accumulator test. The accumulator stores hydraulic fluid under pressure to provide a reserve in the event of a failure of the power steering system. The accumulator is designed to provide 3 or more power-assisted stops with the engine off. See Figure 109-27. If the accumulator fails, it does not hold pressure. To easily check whether the accumulator has lost its charge, simply grasp the accumulator with your hand and try to twist or move it. The accumulator should have so much pressure on it that it should not move or wiggle. If the accumulator moves, it has lost its ability to hold pressure and the hydroboost unit should be replaced. Refer to Figure 109-27. The accumulator should be able to hold pressure and feel tight when hand force is used to try to move it. Hydroboost symptom-based guide. Excessive brake pedal effort. Possible causes for this include the following. Number 1. Loose or broken power steering pump belt. Number 2. No fluid in the power steering reservoir. Number 3. Leaks in the power steering, booster, or accumulator hoses. Number 4. Leaks at tube fittings, power steering, booster, or accumulator connections. Number 5. External leakage at the accumulator. Number 6. Faulty booster piston seal, causing leakage at the booster flange vent. Number 7. Faulty booster cover seal with leakage between the housing and cover. And Number 8. Faulty booster spool plug seal. Slow brake pedal return. Possible causes for this include the following. Number 1. Excessive seal friction in the booster. Number 2. Faulty spool action. Number 3. Broken piston return spring. Number 4. Restriction in the return line from the booster to the pump reservoir. And Number 5. Broken spool return spring. Grabby brakes. Possible causes for this include the following. Number 1. Broken spool return spring. And Number 2. Faulty spool action caused by contamination in the system. Booster chatters, pedal vibrates. Possible causes for this include the following. Number 1. Power steering pump belt slipping. Number 2. Low fluid level in the power steering pump reservoir. And Number 3. Faulty spool operation caused by contamination in the system. Review questions. Question 1. Describe the purpose and function of the one-way check valve used on vacuum brake booster units. Question 2. Explain how vacuum is used to assist in applying the brakes. Question 3. Describe how to perform a vacuum booster leak test and hydraulic system leak test. Question 4. Explain how a hydro boost system functions. Question 5. What is the difference between vacuum and pressure? Chapter quiz. Question 1. A power brake booster provides which of the following design features? A. Reduced stopping distance. B. Reduced brake pedal effort. C. High brake pedal effort. D. A lower brake pedal position. Question 2. The proper operation of a vacuum brake booster requires that the engine be capable of supplying at least A. 15 inches mercury vacuum. B. 17 inches mercury vacuum. Circa 19 inches mercury vacuum. D. 21 inches mercury vacuum. Question 3. A defective vacuum brake booster will cause A. Hard brake pedal. B. Soft, spongy, brake pedal. C. Low brake pedal. D. Slight hiss noise when the brake pedal is depressed. Question 4. A brake pedal feels spongy when depressed. Technician A says that a defective hydraulic brake booster could be the cause. Technician B says that a defective vacuum brake booster could be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. Two technicians are discussing vacuum brake boosters. Technician A says that a low, soft brake pedal is an indication of a defective booster. Technician B says that there should be at least two power-assisted brake applications after the engine stops running. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. Technician A says that to check the operation of a vacuum brake booster, the brake pedal should be depressed until the assist is depleted and then start the engine. Technician B says that the brake pedal should drop when the engine starts, if the booster is okay. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. Which of these could be caused by an improperly adjusted booster push rod? A. Brakes to overheat. B. A soft pedal. C. A low pedal. D. None of these. Question 8. An accumulator such as that used on hydraulic brake boosters. A. Reduces brake pedal noise. B. Provides higher force being fed back to the driver's foot. C. Provides a reserve in the event of a failure. D. Works against engine vacuum. Question 9. The first step in diagnosing a hydro boost problem is A. A pressure test of the pump. B. A volume test of the pump. C. To tighten the power steering drive belt. D. A thorough visual inspection. Question 10. If the engine stops running, what is the most likely to occur if the vehicle is equipped with a hydro boost power brake system? A. Normal braking using the accumulator pressure. B. Greatly reduced braking distance but a normal feeling brake pedal. C. A high and hard brake pedal. D. A low and spongy brake pedal. End of chapter 109.